I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the quality of life in South Indianapolis. A new study there has led to a plan that could bring about significant changes, not just in those neighborhoods, but if the plan becomes a model, for all of Indianapolis. My guests are Kelly Mergot, project manager for the South Indy Quality of Life Plan, and Katie Carlson, a Garfield Park resident who is also a Quality of Life Action Team leader. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about the new South Indy Quality of Life Plan and what plans like it might mean for other Indianapolis and Indiana neighborhoods. If you'd like to join the conversation, you need to call 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, my guests both know a little bit about this plan. They are Kelly Mergot, who is the project manager for the South Indy Quality of Life Plan, and Katie Carlson, who is a Garfield Park resident and Quality of Life Action Team leader. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Certainly. It's good to have both of you here. We probably ought to start first, because we're talking about South Indianapolis, by defining the geography a little bit. That could mean different things to different people, particularly for people who often refer to just the South Side as anything that stretches from, you know, Washington Street all the way down to Louisville. Mm-hmm. So
sure.
We probably ought to talk about what areas we are talking about. Kelly?
Sure. So as you know, in planning boundaries, there are certainly no sort of clear set lines. And in quality of life plans, the boundaries are defined by neighborhoods. So the South Indy Quality of Life Plan has 8 neighborhoods which comprise, and this is the area directly south of Fountain Square. Mm-hmm. And those neighborhoods are Bean Creek, Carson Heights, Garfield Park, Meridian Raymond, Northwest Perry, Rosedale Hills, South Village, and University Heights. So the total square, I think it's around 8 square miles, and the population is just a bit over 30,000.
30,000 people?
34,000 individuals, and it's a total planning area of 8 square miles. I was right.
And for the people who don't think in terms of the traditional Indianapolis neighborhoods, yeah. What are like some cross
sure.
streets
yep.
or,
mm-hmm.
or landmarks that and would serve as boundaries?
That's a great question. And so when we think about these quality of life areas, we often think about anchor institutions or major destinations that make up the planning areas. So within the South Indy area, you've got Garfield Park, you've got University of Indianapolis, the Madison Avenue corridor, Shelby Street, essentially from Beecher down to Troy. So that's all comprised of the planning area. We don't go further than 465, except for there's just one sort of section on the southeast corner of the planning area.
One okay. thing that's been interesting about our planning area is that it's actually evolved since the process began. We incorporated several new neighborhoods into the planning mm-hmm. area. So what we started out with isn't necessarily what it looks like today. But I think that just goes to say that the citizens have had a lot of impact mm-hmm. on what is and what is not part of the South Indy Quality of Life Plan.
Mm-hmm. Katie, I'm going to stay with you on this because that raises a question. Walk me through how this initiative got started, how you decided you were going to pull together a quality of life study and plan.
I actually probably am not the best person to talk about that. I came in, you know, I can tell you how I got involved, and that
okay,
is,
we'll go there and then yeah. we'll go backwards from there.
We had a community builder that several of our engaged citizens hired, and she did a lot of community interviews, and I happened to be one of the people who was a community one of the people she interviewed in the community. So that's how I got involved. Prior to that, Kelly will probably have better background.
Sure. Okay. So quality of life plans originate from with Local Initiative Support Corporation, LISC. The South Indy Quality of Life Plan is actually the ninth quality of life plan in the city of Indianapolis and some of our urban core neighborhoods. And how they develop is that there is a need. So there becomes, or there's a defined need for development, for attention. There are committed partners and stakeholders who come to the table and make a commitment to be a part of this process. And there's eager residents, because the residents are really the ones who drive this planning process. It is a resident-led process. It is the first time that residents come together. They cross neighborhood boundaries, and they work together to create and define a universal vision for how they see the future of their neighborhood.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about the new South Indy Quality of Life Plan. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. So let's talk about really how we are defining then quality of life, because that, you know, that's another one of those terms that means different things to different people. For some people, it speaks to material comfort. For other people, it speaks to leisure. For others, it's about things like health and access to outdoors, all of those things. So in this case, what are the standards we were using for determining quality of life? Kelly, yeah. I want to hear both thoughts on this, because I know you were interviewed mm-hmm. in the process, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they started by asking what's important to us, and that's another thing. And it's one of the parts of this program that's been interesting, is that it has been continually evolving towards the needs of our residents. So our first big meeting was a summit in February of last year, I believe, and there were several, you know, quality of life subjects, and people were able to participate in group discussions about each of those subjects. And then based on the passion and the ideas and what residents at that initial meeting said is important to them, that's how we came to determine the seven different action teams moving forward. So in our quality of life plan, hopefully I'll get all of these in a row, but we've got community building, which I'm the chair of, connectivity, education and workforce development, health and wellness, the Shelby Street corridor and the Madison Street corridor. Am I forgetting one?
Housing.
So those are the quality of life components, the big...
Yes.
The big seven.
Mm-hmm.
How did you arrive at those? I mean, it sounds like you had the summit meeting, but you don't necessarily hear environment or some of the other areas, or are they part of a subgroup? Kelly, you're nodding your head, so I'm going to go with you.
Yes. Well, as Katie mentioned, we start by asking the residents what quality of life means to them. And to your point, quality of life can mean different things to different
and
people.
And I just picked environment out of the air.
Well, no, actually, that's interesting, because
no
at the summit
intended.
That we had.
I apologize.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny that you mention environment, because at our summit, environment was actually a breakout session. So we actually incorporated environmental concerns into our health and wellness action team. So, again, we start with asking at the forefront and interviewing residents. We interviewed over 230 residents and partners within the South Indy area, and asked them a question of what does quality life mean to you. From those interviews, you're able to define and determine sort of these broad quality of life areas. So when we had the summit back in February, we had 10 topics, quality of life topics, and then we narrowed that down to seven based on the input at the February summit.
So what were the three that were left by the side of the
environment, crime and safety, and we'll come back to that one, John.
Okay. Environment, crime and safety. Okay. So, and how was the process of narrowing it down so that you were coming from that 10 to 7? Was there a goal to get it to 7, or because 10 also
right.
strikes me as a workable number?
Well, the good thing is that because this is the ninth area, we have past plans to learn from. So we have past processes, and we can understand if an idea of how many action teams, as we call them, might be overwhelming to a community. You know, 5 is too few, 10 is too many, that sort of concept, if you will. Mm-hmm. 7 is a good, solid number. Again, looking broadly, we were able to identify and understand that some of the breakout sessions at our initial summit, we were able to combine into one group, which is really great. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, we actually had residents vote on their top priorities. And so the 7 that emerged were the 7 most important.
How many people voted?
We had 225 attendees at the summit, and then we allowed opportunity for residents who weren't in attendance to vote, I think for a couple weeks afterwards online.
How many people did you end up getting to vote on that then?
That's a great question. I would go with the 225 that we had at the summit and then figure maybe close to 300 total then, including post-summit responses.
Now, you know, while they're in similar geographic areas, human nature being what it is, would strike me that you know, like Garfield Park has always been such a defined part of Indianapolis and so specific. Were the interests the same, the priorities the same for each of these neighborhoods, or were there differences in emphasis? Katie, you're nodding your head up and down, so I'll go with you.
Yeah, you know, I think throughout the entire planning area, Garfield Park is an important part to the whole area. And so I think that
we emphasize again, you are a Garfield
Park resident. I am a Garfield Park resident, yeah. But I actually have on my team what I call Garfield Park guilt. You know, several of my members are Garfield Park residents on the community building team, and a very large, you know, portion of the participants in all of the action teams are Garfield Park, not necessarily a majority, but, you know, it's just a higher concentration. But I think it's important to all of us to see our entire community succeed. And we want to be, you know, we want to have the Red Line come through. We want to be connected to University Heights and UND and really help establish those relationships. And, you know, Garfield Park residents want Madison Avenue to be more appealing and attract better businesses. You know, just as much as, you know, a lot of these issues are just important to everybody. And so I think it's been a part of the leaders to really kind of push out, you know, you take your resources, you take Garfield Park and University of Indianapolis, and then really push into the areas that need extra help from there. But it's kind of a rising tide lifts all ships.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Effort.
To make my question more clear. You know, is education a higher priority for Garfield Park than it would be for one of the other neighborhoods? That kind of balancing or whatever. It sounds like all seven of the priorities everybody agrees on, but it may be that education's number one for some places and only number three for others. Mm-hmm. Kelly?
Yes, I think what you'll find if you look at even some of the 8 other plans, you'll see some consistency and continuity between what those action teams and concerns are. Housing usually is consistent amongst all the quality of life plans, education, things of that nature. So there is some continuity and universal agreement of priorities across neighborhoods. But when you get into the details, so for example, the residents in Garfield Park, it's a higher density area. So their concerns and what they might like to see in terms of the commercial development along the Shelby Street corridor, they want more amenities, they want restaurants and such. Whereas if you look at our boundaries and maybe the southeast area of the, they may not have sidewalks in their neighborhoods. They're very spread out. So their needs and what is a priority to them is different just because almost geographically of where they exist.
Well, I guess what I was trying to get at is if you agree, and you answered my question, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, but what I was setting up here is, even if you agree on 7 priorities, you've got 8 different distinct neighborhoods here. How do you decide whose priority gets addressed first? Is number one priority you know, we all would look at this slightly differently. What's the process for reconciling that?
Sure, sure. It's a great process. The framework is results-based accountability. So you start with the ends and you work towards the means. And all of the residents pick an action team that they want to be committed to, that they're passionate about. And they all work together to find the solutions or to find the solutions to the goals, the priorities that they have. And they actually themselves within their action teams prioritize what their goals are. So certain things they want to get started on right away. Other things are a priority, but maybe not as high of a concern at this point.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about the new South Indy Quality of Life Plan here on No Limits. My guests are Kelly Mergot, who is project manager for the South Indy Quality of Life Plan, and Katie Carlson, a Garfield Park resident and Quality of Life Action Team Leader. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org or find us on social media. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the new South Indianapolis Quality of Life Plan and what plans like it may mean for other Indiana neighborhoods, other Indianapolis neighborhoods. My guests are Kelly Mergot. She is project manager for the South Indy Quality of Life Plan, and Katie Carlson, who is a Garfield Park resident and Quality of Life Action Team Leader. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. So we now know these seven components that we looked at. You know, presumably, this plan was pulled together to do something other than occupy cyberspace and put ink on a page. So what did we find about the quality of life? I'll start with Katie on this one. And what do we plan to do about it?
Well, before the break, you asked about, you know, assets other than Garfield Park and UND. And one of the things that's important for my team is really asset mapping. There's all sorts of cool hidden gems throughout the entire quality of life planning area. So being able to know all of those parks, know the cool restaurants. We've got some great schools in this district. You've got St. Rock, Boyden's. You know, if you've never had a Boyden's cookie, you're missing out. So, you know, it's places like that. It's just a few minutes from downtown, and people might not know about it. So that kind of asset mapping is one of the first initiatives for my group. And then all the other plans, there are early action grants that were provided to actually really get our plan started. So the community building team hosted a tailgate party for all of the neighborhood residents at UND. And for a lot of people, it was the first UND football game they'd ever been to. But that's great. It's bringing people from different parts of the quality of life planning area to UND. And some of the other action grants include sending out postcards to all of the SNAP recipients in the quality of life planning area to encourage them to use their SNAP at the new Garfield Park Farmers Market, as well as teaching cooking classes. There was a early action grant to have a study done on connectivity and throughout the quality of life planning area. You know, something we're always very conscious of is the red line, potentially, as long as the federal funding goes through, going through Shelby Street. And, you know, how do we get people that live in Northwest Perry neighborhood over on the south east side of the district safely to the red line? So sidewalks, that kind of infrastructure is also important.
What priorities, what are the action items, Kelly, that emerged out of this? And I'll give you a hint. My follow-up is going to be, since there have been eight other acts, how do they differ from mm-hmm. parts of the city, too.
Sure, sure.
What's specific to South Indianapolis?
So within the from the seven action teams, there are actually 173 total action steps within this quality of life plan, if you can imagine. And again, they prioritize based on years. So it's a five-year plan. And what we saw from this from the plan is certain themes emerged. So these action steps actually fall into three different themes: thriving households, healthy communities, and talent and trades. So real quickly, just to summarize, for example, Katie already talked about community building, but with connectivity, speaks to healthy communities and ensuring that our residents have access to the services, the goods that they need to, that the pedestrians have the same access that motorists do, things of that nature. So building a connectivity master plan is a priority and an action item. The education, trades is traditionally, we're talking about bringing back trades to the area. Emmanuel High School is a great lead partner in helping us. So we've talked about some apprenticeship programs for our students, and so they can actually think about careers beyond college or in addition to college, things of that nature. Housing, we're actually looking at a study along the Shelby Street corridor to even respond to the transit-oriented development that will take place with the Red Line, and what type of housing models work based on our population density and trends that we're seeing. And Madison Avenue, really thinking about creating a regional commercial destination. Then Shelby Street corridor, there's a lot. And again, a lot of that, a lot of the Shelby Street corridor talks about branding, talks about just creating Shelby Street as a destination. So ensuring that there are, restaurants and local shops and things of that nature. And again, responding to that transit-oriented development that will take place. The Shelby Street corridor has a lot of potential because of its connectivity and access, or it's adjacent to the UND. You've got Garfield Park. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of potential along Shelby Street.
How is it different? Well, I should ask, this is the ninth quality of life plan?
Yes, it is.
In this area?
In Indianapolis.
In Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. So where were the others?
Okay, so that's a good quiz, and I'll do the best that I can. Fountain Square, the southeast area of Indianapolis, has been through the quality of life planning process. Mid-north Indianapolis, which is comprised of six neighborhoods just north of Fall Creek Parkway, you've got the northeast corridor. There is Crooked Creek. The Binford redevelopment, Bragg, has been through its process, and I'm so sorry, but West Side has been through one as well. How many did I get?
I don't know, but I
think that's pretty good on my end.
I wasn't counting. Yeah, no.
Yes.
So how is the one, are there certain common themes that apply to all these neighborhoods? What are the ones that are specific to South Indianapolis?
Yeah, as I made mention, that you do start to see these similar action teams emerge in each of these plans. So housing is consistent. Education is consistent. But like, for example, in Fountain Square, they, the development of Virginia Avenue and all that growth that has happened in Fountain Square, I mean, their plan was unveiled, I think, in 2008, which is right around when the cultural trail planning happened. So that, if you think about it, that quality of life plan there served as a catalyst for a lot of the development that we see today. In the Mid-North area, one of the big activities that emerged, or programs that emerged, was Destination Fall Creek, which was an initiative to drive attention to our natural asset of Fall Creek, so creating recreational assets and amenities, things of that nature. And so I think that there are similar themes that emerge, but each of these areas is unique because of the neighborhoods that comprise the areas and the individuals who live there. So while there might be some consistency amongst the action teams, the focus areas, you will see unique and different action items that emerge from each of these plans.
Katie,
Another thing that's kind of specific to our plan is that we really had a new nickname emerge in part of our planning process, which is So Indie. Part of my team's group is one of our goals is to help market and promote the South Side. And we just we have a real affinity for So Indie. You, Indy, has an affinity for So Indie. And, you know, to us, it means a lot of things. It means South Indie. It's a it's a replacement for the South Side, which could be anything, you know, south of Washington Street. But to us, it's also So Indie. You know, this is it's so exciting. We're so excited for So Indie. And so that's something that's really gotten a lot of attention. And also we have a new logo and it looks nice. And so using that logo to brand these neighborhoods and hopefully make Garfield Park, make Carson Heights, which is just smack dab in the middle of University and Garfield Park. If we have more business developed along Shelby Street, you know, Carson, you know, could be a great, you know, one of the upcoming neighborhoods too. So that So Indie nickname, from what I've known from Kelly, is a fairly unique thing to have come out to have a whole new name for your area.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the new South Indie or So Indie quality of life plan here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. So, Katie, tell me how what an action team does, since you're an action team leader, how they come together, what you're supposed to accomplish.
Well, you know, like most things, you say yes to something and have a lot more meetings than you ever were intending. but, you know, I've just been blessed. We have so many incredible people that are working with our group. So initially we had we got this team. And we had four dates set for action team meetings. But in that process, we'd have kind of a different assignment and a different way to work towards our goals. And what's the term? The planning.
The results-based accountability.
Results-based accountability. It's a very you know, specific process. And so Kelly and Scarlett helped guide us through that plan. And it would, you know, go every 2 weeks or so that we would meet that. My team ended up meeting additionally because we executed our early action grant as well, you know, really before the plan was revealed. So getting everything, so we're really excited right now because we have worked really hard on all of these action steps and we really haven't had a chance. We, you know, the plan was just revealed in December and then we had the holidays. We really haven't had an opportunity to dig back in and say, okay, I want to do, these are our goals for 2017 and I want to be in charge of this one and I want to be in charge of this one. So every team is like that and the more people they have involved is the better. But we're also still in a building phase. You know, there are people who are just hearing about the quality of life plan and there's a lot of room. You know, many hands make light work and we really want to still make people from the community not think, oh, this has already been set and, you know, it's too late to become involved because it's not. We have all of the work is ahead of us still. So we're definitely trying to continue to reach out and build each one of our teams, not just my team or whoever's team is speaking to a group meeting. So that's a big part of the process. And then just narrowing down your 2017 plans and getting started. Another thing that fell under my team was kind of the administration, like the Southeast neighborhoods. They have their three congresses a year. We'll have these biannual summits and just that kind of really basic structure of what the quality of life plan is going to look like from here on out is something else that we're working on.
Is this an all-volunteer effort or is there money behind it, Kelly?
Oh, that's interesting. So the residence is all volunteer. So we have to, again, come in the residents. And it's always tricky because the residents in the last year invested hundreds and hundreds of hours. And we had close to 400, throughout the process, 400 stakeholders participate in an action team meeting. And
so
interview.
Katie gets nothing but a pat on the head and
get a
satisfaction.
Lots of hugs.
You got a T-shirt, right?
A T-shirt.
T-shirt.
Okay.
Hugs. High fives.
You need an agent, Katie, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, you know, it's one of those, it's just, all, I did all this and all I got was this T-shirt type thing. So again, when we talk about how quality of life plans are started, there does have to be some financial backing. And in this case, and leadership from some anchor institutions and major stakeholders. So obviously, as I mentioned, LISC, University of Indianapolis, UIND, is the convener of the South Indy Quality of Life Plan, Fifth Third, Indianapolis, and INHP, among other just local businesses and such, have contributed some financial dollars to support the administration, so the community builder, support all of the logistics of doing a planning process like this, because, you know, you have to have meetings, and then at the meetings you have to have food. You can't have a meeting in the evening without food. All of these things, as small and minor as that may seem, have a cost attached to it. So the quality of life plans cannot happen without that stakeholder buy-in and financial support.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about the new South Indy Quality of Life Plan. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at WFYI, or you can call us at 866-476-3881. My next question is really about what constitutes success for this. What are the benchmarks? How do you know that this plan is being implemented and is working? I'd like to hear both of your thoughts on that. Katie, you're nodding your head and Kelly's looking at you, so I'm guessing that means we go to you.
I'm trying not to talk too much.
It's okay. It's talk radio. You're supposed to talk. It's okay.
You know, for us, I think it's really something that you can feel and see and touch is what's going to be important. And I say that whereas my team kind of has a tendency to be more of the social chair of the quality of life plan, bringing people together, bringing neighbors together. So that's less for mine. But what I would consider successful for the rest of those is I want to see visible improvements on the Madison Street corridor. It's an eyesore. I want to see shops, not just by Garfield Park on Shelby Street, but, you know, lining the street all the way down to University of Indianapolis. And I want to support those businesses. And I want to be better connected with neighbors so that all of us can support those businesses. So I think that that's part of my job is getting connecting with neighbors so we can support what we want to physically see, but seeing sidewalks, seeing businesses, seeing, you know, structural improvements, that's success to me.
Kelly, are there quantitative benchmarks as well, though, that certain numbers you want to hit or anything like that?
There is some accountability. Again, as I mentioned, this is a 5-year plan. So there is some accountability, and there is ongoing reporting back to LISC in terms of where what has been accomplished in year one, what has been accomplished in year two, and comparing that to what we actually have called out in the plan. In terms of quantitative, there's not necessarily a defined, but again, that ongoing reporting of the progress is essential and key, and is required and expected of the.
What at the end of that 5-year period? What's the process then?
Well, the idea is that the initial plan has the 5-year timeline, but the idea of a quality of life plan is that it truly is this living, breathing document and can sustain and grow and evolve. And so once items, so of these 173 action steps that we have in the plan. Once they're crossed off and checked off, if you will, you can add new plan. You can add new action steps to it. So the idea is you've provided this initial framework and this initial work plan that is 5 years, but that it will truly live on within the community, and it will grow as priorities change, as the demographics change, as the landscape of that area changes. And so 10 to 15 years down the road, the idea is that there would still be this South Indy Quality of Life entity that supports growth in the area.
But it's
supported by residents.
But it's ongoing. And is there a period when you say that it's results-based accountability with those benchmarks? How often do you take a look and see if we are arriving at the results that we want?
Semiannual reporting is provided, so we're looking at that on a semiannual basis.
So every people get semiannual and biannual confused. Yeah. Semiannual means every other year.
Oh, I'm sorry. RCR, yes. Twice a year. Let me just stick to the basics there. Yeah, twice a year. Okay. Sorry. So twice a year there's check-in and to make sure that we're on track and that progress is happening.
We are talking about the New South End Equality of Life Plan here on No Limits. My guests are Kelly Mergot, who is project manager for the South End Equality of Life Plan, and Katie Carlson, a Garfield Park resident and Quality of Life Action Team leader. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I am John Kroll. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about the New South End Quality of Life Plan, what plans like it can mean for other Indianapolis and Indiana neighborhoods. My guests are Kelly Mergot. She is project manager for the South End Quality of Life Plan, and Katie Carlson, a Garfield Park resident, who is also a Quality of Life Action Team leader. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what Carolyn has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Carolyn, welcome to the program.
Hi. And I was calling about the PACE program and how that figures in with the program that she's talking about today. It's the PACE program has to do with health care on the south side.
PACE, so I'll throw that one first to Kelly and then Katie.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on the PACE program? I'm sorry, I'm not very familiar with it. If you could just
it's
give me a
called the National PACE Associates Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly.
Okay.
Key research, it was just a health program that was for people on the south side, and I was wondering if that was a part of your program or not. But you haven't heard of it.
It should be. I've written it down. If you look at our health and wellness section of the plan, that is not called out specifically, but we do talk about providing health care, making sure that health care is available and the services are available to our residents. It's affordable and that the services that they do need, that there is health care available for them.
And we'll make sure to mention this to the health and wellness action team leader just so they can be aware of it if they're not.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Certainly. Well, that also raises a question. With the action teams and the involvement of this, what's that, I'm going to hazard a guess that Carolyn is, say, older than 35, given based on the nature of her question. What is of importance to you or even how you define quality health care is different when you're 26 and as opposed to 78, let's say. Has there been, and that part of the city, you have a wide range of ages, you've got a fair amount of diversity. What steps were taken to make sure that all of those views were represented in this plan?
Sure. We're actually working with Community Health. They have conducted I'm probably not going to get the exact title of the survey or report right, but it's essentially a community health report, if you will, where they have surveyed and they have the data that helps us understand what the top healthcare needs or concerns are, broken down by demographics. So that's the beauty of the Quality of Life Plan as well, is that we bring in partners that have resources and tools to help us implement and help the residents move these priorities forward. So in this case, we would look at their information and their data and use that as a starting point to talk about where the gaps are and what we need to do to ensure that those gaps are filled.
We are talking about the new South Indy Quality of Life Plan. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what Mookie has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Mookie, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. Hi.
Hi. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes, you did.
Good. What's your question?
I basically have a comment. I'm very glad to hear that there's a program like that. Unfortunately, this is the first time that I'm hearing about it, and I'm glad that it's not too late to get involved, and I'm very interested in getting involved. I live basically in the Carson Heights, University Heights area, in particular the Dog Patch, and there is a need for such a program, and I'm very excited, and I would like to get involved, and I am an alumnus of UIndy as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, thanks very much for the call, Mookie, and we will get that information for you. Thanks
Thank
much.
You.
So, if people do want to get involved, how do they go about that?
Sure. Thank you so much for calling, Mookie. I'm actually really glad that you did. So, the first way is to connect with us through soindy.org. You can also connect with us on Facebook, but our website has actually a contact us form. There is a calendar that lists our upcoming meeting dates. And Mookie, if you're still listening, I can tell you that on Tuesday, January 24th, from 5:30 to 7, that's this upcoming Tuesday at Emmanuel High School, we are going to have our first action team meeting of 2017. So that is an excellent time to plug in. Also, attending your monthly neighborhood association meeting is a great idea to get connected as well.
Is it possible, like, I know that that Katie's an action team leader, and she was talking about other members. Are there still slots if people want to join the teams? Do they get to pick which team they belong? Katie, you're nodding yes. your head, so I'm going to go there.
Well, one of the things, and it's kind of a little bit of a conundrum, really, for this first meeting, but we are coming all together. We're going to be hearing about what every team's doing. And while my team is, like, really just, you know, dying to dig into the details of our plan, we actually have extended the time of our meeting so that we can meet after this big one. So for the most part, if everybody comes, they're going to hear what each team's doing, what the priorities are for each team, and decide that day which one they'd like to be involved with. And it's not even just a matter of being a member of a team, but we still have leadership positions. Every team is supposed to have co-chairs. There are recorder positions. We're looking for community liaisons, so people can not just be a part of a team, but be a leader of a team, and that's very much needed.
So this is not like a Banana Republic sort of stage where you're elected team leader for life.
It's, I hope it's, not.
She doesn't know it.
No possibility for parole for good behavior, anything like that. So, but there are. How often do the team leaders cycle in and out?
It's a great question. Sometimes, in any sort of community project where residents are involved, I mean, several things can happen. I mean, people can move away. Life gets busy. So there does seem to be this sort of rotating door of volunteer resident leadership. However, the plan and the quality of life process is so fluid that, you know, it's not a shut door at any point in time. And if anyone is interested in participating and passionate about leading, there's an opportunity for them to do so.
We have an email question from a listener who's a Garfield Park resident. If you want to find us on email, you can do so at nolimits@wfyi.org. This listener writes, understanding that the faith-based organizations can sometimes be a great center of community, was there outreach on the part of the Southside Community Quality of Life Plan to engage the faith organizations? Kelly.
Absolutely. Part of the role of the community builder, Scarlett Martin, she did an extensive amount of outreach and engagement with not only residents, but businesses, faith-based institution, educational. So that is a part of the process, because all of the institutions, whether they're faith-based, whether they're educational institutions, recreational institutions, everyone is key in this process, and their word and input is critical. And so the one thing is that just as any sort of community engagement process is it's always important for people to just remain connected. We will never touch the 34,000. We will never get in touch directly with all 34,000. But what we will do is try to spread the message as best as we can and let people know that there is always room to come in. But to be more specific in the response, for example, the February summit that that Katie was mentioning, we actually had at the St. Rock Catholic High School there. Mm-hmm. Catholic school. Sorry.
Katie, you wanted
another example of that for our early action grant. It's actually a health and wellness early action grant, but as part of the Garfield Park Farmers Market, we're implementing it in the kitchen at the Garfield Park Baptist Church on Saturdays. So, you know, they're very tied in throughout the plan.
We are talking about the new South Indy Quality of Life Plan here on No Limits. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi. Actually, I'm a transplanted Southsider, and I now live up in the International Marketplace area near Eagle Creek. Mm-hmm. And I was just curious how I would find out if we have a quality of life plan. And if we do not have one, how can we go about getting something started?
Good question. Thanks very much for the call and the question, Susan. Yes, Kelly.
I think you do. And the International Marketplace Coalition, Mary Clark there, wonderful, wonderful woman. She's a great person to get connected with. The International Marketplace Coalition is a really, really good place to start. That address is imcoalition.org. But I'm pretty certain you have a quality of life. I'm 95% certain. I could be wrong, but that's a good place to start.
Is there a clearinghouse for this? Some place where you can go, like if you live on what might be considered a border or a boundary of certain neighborhoods where you could be one, you could be the other. Is there a place where you can go and say, oh, yeah, we have a quality of life plan here. We've been through this process to get access to it? Or is there just kind of you have to Google search and hope you get lucky?
No, the city of Indianapolis in the last probably 6 months, I think, launched IndyVitals.org, which is a great tool for neighbors and residents to go in, plug in their address, and find resources that are close to them. So I believe that they are able to find out information if they are part of a quality of life planning area that way. But the IndyVitals.org just has a ton of great information anyway.
We've gotten a comment from a listener named Robert via Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. It says, though there's a need for more parking, Garfield Park events need better promotion, like on public radio. Okay. Hint, hint, huh, Robert? All right. Well, we're doing our best. You just got an hour here. So is that a pressing need, Katie? You live down in Garfield Park.
You know, this
and we always
past
love
summer,
talking to you folks, so.
Yeah, we had a new concert series this summer with MOKB, and I thought that public radio was a part of it, but I could be wrong. It was just an incredible turnout for both of those shows. I was lucky enough to be able to attend each of them, and, you know, the place was full, so a lot of people heard about those ones. And so I don't know, you know, how specifically to improve the turnouts there because they seemed really good. But there are a ton of events that go on in Garfield Park all the time. And we would love for those, you know, we have Shakespeare in the Park. We have events at the Art Center. And we would love to have greater attendance at any of those. And also these America We Remember events and Thursday night concerts. And so there's definitely a lot of room to grow, especially on those smaller events. But definitely events getting more, not just to Garfield Park, but throughout the whole So Indy Quality of Life planning area is definitely one of the goals of our team and promoting events and attracting events.
So let me ask, is there a mechanism in here also to revisit the plan midstream? For example, and I'm not arguing that anything like this is going to happen, but if there is some dramatic event, say a major employer in the area uproots or something like that, or a major employer comes in and suddenly, you know, economic development isn't quite the pressing need that it was before, but education then moves into a much higher priority level. Are there ways while this plan is being implemented to revisit its priorities and revisit its implementation strategy, Kelly?
Yeah, that's part of managing the plan and the process. And as Katie mentioned earlier in our talk, there will be biannual. So I got it right that time.
Sorry.
There will be biannual events, community events, sort of mini summits, if you will, where the progress of the quality of life plan is actually reported. Yeah. We report on successes. We report on concerns. Honestly, you can report on failures as well. And it's a really good way, opportunity for people to plug in and just keep informed about what's happening in the quality of life plan.
And that's our opportunity to make changes if we if we want to. It's our plan. It's our community. So, you know, and it's community member driven. So whatever's important to us as a community, if we decide that that's going to be in the plan, then we are able to adjust as such.
Were there surprises that emerged out of this process? And if so, what was the biggest one?
For me, I think
Katie,
just So Indie was a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it's one of those things that was so natural that four or five people thought that it was their idea. I mean, it just really kind of came to grow, and people really came to like it. Even some of the older folks, you know, said, I don't like So Indie. I don't get it. And then by the end of the planning process, they were calling it So Indie off the top of their head. So that was one for me, just because it really is fun and spirited, and really kind of matches what I think we want to be. And I was not expecting that going in.
But were there surprises that, say, the research and the data provided for you, things you did not know about the area that popped up? Kelly.
Well, and data is a key part of quality of life planning process. You cannot, it wouldn't be fair, even though this is sort of the residents brainstorm on what their priorities are. You do have to incorporate data into the process, because it doesn't make, it's not very responsible to lead residents down a path if the data isn't there to support the initiative. So, I'll just say that about the data. I'm not quite certain that there was anything that truly surprised me, except that just overall looking at Madison Avenue corridor was a just unique. I think that there is great opportunity along Madison Avenue corridor to really think about what type of destination we want to see Madison Avenue become, whether that's a regional commercial destination, whether it could be some sort of international marketplace similar to that. And so that, I don't know that was really surprising, but it was really it was just great to see that emerge with supportive data.
Can I add one
more
thing?
Please.
You know, something else that surprised me personally is that we really doubled the number of neighborhood associations that became, from the beginning of the planning to the end, Rosedale Hills, Bean Creek, Carson Heights, and Northwest Perry all formed and started meeting regularly. So we doubled the number of neighborhood associations, and that was unexpected, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, real quickly, because we're getting close on time here. If people do want to get involved, to pick up on Mookie's question again, give it to them one more time.
Sure.
Where do they go to plug in?
Sure. The website is soindie.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. I would also encourage any listeners who live in this planning area to come out Tuesday, January 24th, 5:30 to 7 at Emmanuel High School to participate in our first action team meeting of 2017.
And I think that will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guest, Kelly Mergot, Project Manager for the South Indy Quality of Life Plan, and Katie Carlson, who's Garfield Park resident and Quality of Life Action Team Leader, for what's been a lively conversation. Enjoyed talking with both of you. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Cherzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.